This is Vectis Radio. For the people, by the people.
Welcome to Joe Plum's political soapbox on Vectis Radio.
Yes, we can.
Because Brexit means Brexit.
This, Mr. President, is a remarkable record.
The Isle of Wight Zoo is having difficulty importing a tiger.
My father gave me a small loan of $1 million.
Which we wouldn't have if we listened to the muttering idiot sitting opposite me.
Today we're talking all things North Wight. Hello, welcome to Joe Plum's Political Soapbox here on Vectis Radio. Today we have candidates from the North Wight. We have so many candidates, we've split them into two different sections. So we've actually divided the North along the Medina between East and West. So we're looking at North East now to start off with. I'd like to just start by getting you all to introduce yourself, where you're standing and who you're standing for. So if we start down this end.
Okay, I'm Louisa Hillard. I'm the current councillor for East Cowes, and I'm independent.
And I'm Carl Love. I'm standing in East Cowes, and I'm an independent too.
I'm Daryl Pitcher. I'm the councillor and candidate for UKIP in Wootton Bridge.
I'm Julia Baker-Smith. I'm the councillor and candidate for Whippingham and Osborne.
Okay, thank you. Right, thank you all for coming along today. I'd like to start just by asking you what you think the biggest problem facing people in your ward at the moment going into this next election. So if we start over here.
What I find is that many people care mostly about the little doorstep issues, such as dog fouling and parking. But actually, the most serious things are island-wide and mostly under the control of national government. So I think we have to have two hats on. One is the ward work we do to deal with those small doorstop issues, the pavement issues. And then, obviously, in County Hall, that part of the work is very important in trying to work with government to get improvements where we can.
Carl, what are you
doing? Yes, thank you, Joe. There's lots of things, really, isn't there, that's going on around the island at the moment, particularly. I mean, Louise is right that there are lots of small things, but really, we've got to think about the bigger picture when it comes to County Council. And so East Cowes is going through probably its biggest transformation in many years. It's quite an important part of the economy as well for the island. So we've got lots of development with Red Funnel, will it, or who will buy it and who won't. And then, obviously, things that are going on at Norris Castle and Spring Hill, possibly a new marina. So there's lots of things going on there. But it's actually about making sure that the people are involved in that. And it's not just about a county council decision. So engaging with the people, that's what really I'm about.
OK, thank you. Daryl?
Yeah, locally in Wootton, the major issues are twofold, really. One is the roads, particularly the residential roads, because anyone that travels between Newport and Ryde knows that Wootton lies slap bang in the middle of that main road, particularly the crossroads at the Cedars. And that feeds off into all the residential sort of roads around it as people cut through and use them as rat runs and things. So that generates a lot of problems for the residents. And yeah, that's the main one. But the second one, probably in Wootton, is to do with development and protecting the village. There's been over the years a few large proposals that would have completely altered the character of the village, and people haven't wanted that. And I've done my best to stop that from happening over the years. So those are the two major local ones. But Louise is absolutely right. We do also have to look island-wide, and the island has a number of issues facing it. I would put probably at the top of the list the ageing population and what we can do for them going forwards.
Okay, Julia.
Yeah, I mean, I very much agree with Louisa in that we have these doorstep issues that we have to obviously be listening to our residents and taking those forward. When I'm on the doorstep talking to people, the main issues they raise with me are dog fouling, pavement parking, which is actually a big issue throughout my ward, but I know across the island, and I think that's something that we need to look to challenge through an island-wide TRO, if that's at all possible, because the government don't seem to be giving us any improved legislation to be able to deal with that at a local level. Development, again, we have seen a lot of development in the Osborne end of East Cowes in recent years, and we need to strike that balance between providing the homes that people need, because there are people waiting on housing lists for housing in the area, while ensuring that we're protecting the character of the area.
So, Carl, certainly as an independent, you know, you obviously have the worries of your ward in your mind when you're going forward. But then, how does that relate to like the island as a whole? This kind of battle between, you know, I've got the interests of the things that the people who voted for me in the ward have, and then what about that the kind of interest of the whole island, and how can you balance those out?
Well, I mean, I'm standing, I've already got a seat within the town council, and I'm continuing in the town council, so I'm going to be representing their views if I was to be successful at being elected directly into council, because I think it's important to have the link between town council and county council, because it's about making sure the voice of the people is heard. And of course, they're kind of mashing to each other, really, in terms of what's happening in these cows now. We are the cash pig, so as to say, for the island. We're one of the key areas of development across the whole of the island at the moment, which offers potential for the future, and it's about striking that balance. So the people that are living there are very, very concerned about what is happening around their community, cars, transport and so on, making the town look better. So it's really, when you're a town councillor and a county councillor, they are one of the same thing, really. But it's about making sure that you don't just represent your area. I mean, my background is community development, and I've worked with some of the most complex issues, drugs, alcohol, tobacco, young people's issues, and not forgetting young people. Daryl is right that we've got an ageing population and we need to get that under control. So for me, what comes first in my life right now is health and social care, as what Darren's saying, because it's so important. We've got a potential crisis here in the future with a hospital that's struggling, and so we've got to make things better. So we've got to look to the future and turn that into something positive. And East Cowes is actually quite an important key, so as to say, in terms of generating cash for the future. So, and I'm sure that Louise would agree with that, that we've really got to look to the future. The past is the past. It's been painful, and it's going to be painful again. Nobody's pretending otherwise, are they? There's some difficult choices coming in terms of there's still a lot of money to come off, £20 million we've still got to save, etc. So we either say we're not doing it and present the hand to government and say no, or we have to look at some ways of changing that.
Daryl, some of those problems that mentioned there, you know, about the ageing population and there's a lot of talk about the NHS and things like that, they're things that are out of council's control, aren't they? What powers do you think you could, what control could council do to help with those issues?
Well, I think actually, when you talk about that, you're actually looking at the problem in too narrow a way. There are various things that the council can do, and the NHS Trust hasn't been particularly helpful to itself in many respects. We look at it from... I've got the housing portfolio at the moment, and we look at it as you know, the way we transfer people if someone does end up in hospital, the way we transfer them, we try and make their homes suitable for them when they come back out, so that they don't go back into the hospital, for instance, and things like that. But the hospital hasn't been particularly supportive of that work. They I think probably because they've been under so much pressure, they've got themselves into a circle where they're just chasing their tail. So they're not actually sorting out the cause of the problem. They're just sorting out the problem when it presents itself in A&E. So the council has a role in doing the other side. We can work in the community to make people's lives better, so they can stay in their houses longer, so that they've got a better quality of life. And we can do that through planning, by making houses more suitable for people. We can do it by making the physical environment of the island better for people to get around in, so that's things like public transport and things like that, so that people can have fulfilling lives within the community even when their health starts to deteriorate, so that they don't end up shuffled into a care home when they don't need to be, so that they don't end up in St Mary's when they don't need to be. And by doing that, we can actually take a lot of pressure off the system. It will actually save both the NHS and the council money by doing that, so that we can invest in other things, and people have better quality of life. And I think that's very important, and that's what the council can actually do.
Julia, do you agree? How would you kind of help that ageing and support that ageing population on the island? Do you think we need to be, you know, working with the hospitals in that way?
I absolutely think we need to be working with the hospitals. We've worked incredibly hard towards integration over the last 4 years, and that's an ongoing process. You know, just with just as when you're treating an illness, you don't just treat the symptoms as they come about. You actually need to be treating the cause of the illness and looking at prevention. And I think the NHS actually just need to take a step back at their principles that they've learnt through healthcare and look at a whole system approach. So rather than just trying to deal with wait times in A&E, for example, and pressures on beds in isolation from each other, you need to be taking a whole system approach and looking across the community at how you're going to integrate and ensure that people can leave hospital when they're ready to leave hospital, and that actually you've planned in advance for those discharges, and that people are able to return wherever possible to their own homes and to their lives after illness.
Louisa, what are your thoughts on how we can help support the ageing population on the island?
I've been thinking about this quite a lot recently, because obviously people do ask for sort of statements to such effect, and I think a lot of what's been said is very interesting. When I was an executive member, I did a lot of work with public health on how we might help older people dealing with fuel poverty, for example, because we know that in cold winters, residents on the island are dying from the cold. We did have statistics for that, and I was hoping that the council could somehow intervene, and we did work on different projects to see if we could get grant funding to retrofit people's homes, vulnerable people, so that they would essentially be able to heat their homes for free or very low cost, and that would obviously help to reduce the burden on the NHS, because not only do you have people dying from the cold, but there's also another larger statistic of people who experience worse health due to cold. They're not dying, but they are becoming ill enough to go into hospital. And obviously, we know during the winter that the NHS is struggling with increased pressure on bed space. And we know that the hospitals have had a decreasing number of beds over the last few years as funding has decreased as well. I do believe very much in preventative measures, in treating underlying causes. I have a background in health. I'd like to see the NHS be more innovative in embracing some of the complementary therapies, particularly where people are on long-term medication, which is only managing symptoms but doesn't actually provide any cures. And I think if we can do that, if we can follow some of the innovations and not even experiments, but trials that are going on in some of the London hospitals, like Great Ormond Street, where my son goes for treatment, I think we could see some improvements. We just have to embrace the future.
Yeah, you see, I mean, I work for the NHS part-time. I'm not representing them here today because that's not my job to do. But, I mean, the real problem for our NHS is a number of quite complicated issues that are going on. And one is the bed blocking that's going on. We haven't got the care homes to release people into. And that is a council responsibility to try and ensure and support and encourage the growth of that industry. And I'm sure you'd all agree that needs to be done. And the other is in prevention. I mean, we've got quite a lot of stuff going on in prevention, but there is only so much money. And so we've now reached, I believe, a tipping point, really, for the NHS and doctors and so on the island. We've got no staff. We find it difficult because we're an island, and it's that uniqueness of being an island that can actually prevent, you know, healthcare professionals coming to the island. We're not training enough staff anymore. Mm. And so, therefore, we need to encourage that and go forward with that. But, I mean, really, if we're going to be using the ferries, for instance, in terms of hospitals on the mainland, which is being encouraged, well, the ferries are not fit. I know that from my own experiences. You cannot travel on a ferry, and when you've got a serious illness like cancer, or you've got things where your immune systems, there's no private space, so you're at risk from serious, you know, serious illness, really, from others. So there's a lot that needs to be done, but there is no money, and so there needs to be much, much better. I mean, My Life, A Full Life is one good program, I think, that has come on from the council in the past. That is good, but we need to be using Age UK more. We need to be, you know, the voluntary sector is going to be coming much more important, and really the fact is that if we can't recruit more staff, then more services are going to move to the island, and move to the mainland even. Okay. And that can't be good, can it?
Can I just come back on the care home point there? Because actually our care home usage is one of the highest pro rata in the country. Mm. We're actually putting too many people into care homes that shouldn't be going into care homes.
It's not just about care homes, is it, Dan?
Well, no, but you mentioned care homes.
But it's the whole system, isn't it? The whole system is in crisis, and we need to encourage more supportive community.
I think that should be our aim, is not just building more care homes and shuffling people off into them, because that doesn't really help anyone and it costs a lot of money. Mm. What we should be doing is encourage them to be able to stay in their own home. Mm. And that relies on having the occupational health people to be able to go and assess people's houses and ensure that the necessary modifications are made.
The council actually
outsourced that to St Mary's a few years ago to provide that service for us, and they've fallen down on doing that, and that is one of the reasons why we end up with bed blockers.
Okay, I want to talk now about kind of industry work, because the North Wight, especially on the eastern side, has a number of factories, energy plants, things like that, that are moving forward and developing, and quite exciting with launches of new education facilities in East Cowes. But what would you like to see happening in terms of industry and jobs in the North Wight area in particular, Julia?
We absolutely need to be preserving our industry and our jobs, and growing our industry and our jobs within the Medina Valley. One of the things that we've been working on incredibly hard over previous months is the acquisition of Kingston Marine Park, in order to be able to grow and also, if needed, relocate some of the marine industry to that area. We've also seen £10 million worth of investment from the Solent LEP into what they call the SeaCam College in Whippingham, which specialises in engineering and composites, which is an absolutely fantastic and much needed facility in the area. The average age now at places such as GKN is about 54, and we need to be not only ensuring that we're growing our own engineers and our own composites experts here on the island, but also that we're encouraging young people to come over here from the mainland to a centre of excellence and actually train here and grow their families here. We've got a very, very top heavy demographic, and we need more 20, 30, 40 year old people on the island working and building our industries.
Louisa? Mm.
Well, anyone who's followed my battle against Red Funnel will know I've tried really hard to preserve industry, particularly marine industry in East Cowes. One thing I will agree with Conservatives is that marine industry could be the future of the island in terms of increasing business rates and job opportunities, and I'm very concerned that with some of the proposals that have come forward, there's too much focus on tourism and hospitality, which tend to be very low paid seasonal jobs. What we need is high quality jobs, well paid jobs, skilled jobs that provide opportunities for all people of all ages, but particularly young people coming forward. We've got the Studio School in East Cowes, which is obviously going to be turning out budding engineers. We've got the Centre of Excellence in Whippingham that Julia's already talked about, which obviously the council was part of in getting funding for, that and that again will be turning out some very skilled people, and so we need to make sure the jobs are there for those people to take advantage of. We need to make the island a centre of excellence as a whole, and we can reclaim our marine heritage.
Carl, what are your thoughts on that? Do you think this is a realistic aim and something we should be promoting on the island?
Absolutely. I wouldn't disagree with anything that I've heard from Julia or Louisa on what they've said there. I mean, it is a careful balancing act, but I mean, really, between both tourism and industry. But we need to do as much as we possibly can. East Cowes is traditionally an industrial area, as is part of West Cowes. And so we need to maximise as much as we possibly can the potential for the future there. I mean, the Red Funnel issue goes on and on and on, and that's different people have different ideas about whether if we should pull down buildings there or not. What matters is that if Red Funnel are taking over that area, is that they bring something positive to the town. And I'm not hearing a great deal about that positivity, because really, if you pull down buildings, you actually remove jobs from the town centre.
That's very true.
Which affects the shops there. Because, I mean, obviously, workers come out of buildings, they buy sandwiches. It might only be a little bit, but in the high street, as we all know, the high street is struggling. So our business community, and we're very lucky in East Cowes, we have a very strong East Cowes Business Association that's doing quite a lot locally, but there's more that we can do. I mean, I'm really into the heritage of East Cowes and Whippingham, because I think that that has the potential to grow the community, not just in terms of economy, but actually give... It instills pride in the people, and if you feel pride about your town, you look after it a bit better, and maybe you engage and do other things. And so a bit of that community development needs to come back. And I know certainly I'm very supportive of the work that Julie's been doing at the youth centre. It's not on my patch, but it's the pavilion. I think that's really important.
Well, I have to say, I mean, myself and Louisa. Louisa's worked very hard with me on that as well, Carl. Thank
okay,
you.
Daryl, in terms of this, and how we can build, you know, building more industry and moving forward sometimes means expanding some businesses, which means, you know, they take over places that other smaller businesses are. What are your thoughts on that and that balance?
Well, if I can go back on the original the original question before I just touch on that one. Kingston Marine Park, which has already been mentioned, I think is vital to our shipbuilding future on the island. I think it's absolutely key. In the last budget of the council, there was £1 million put aside for the sort of capital side of bringing that forward. And I can tell you that when we sat down as the cross-party administration, which is now in power, when I was asked what were my red lines, and that was number one on the list, was that £1 million stayed in there.
Can I just ask, Daryl, why did that go down from £3 million, as I'd put it into the capital budget just weeks before, to £1 million?
By the time we saw it, that was what it was. So I wouldn't like to comment on that, but that was what we were presenting.
I mean, obviously there is a need for £3 million for the hoist dock, plus additional funding for the buildings themselves.
And that's the whole point,
and £1 million isn't really going to touch it. And unfortunately then what we saw that came through your capital programme was over £1 million spent on County Hall, and that £1 million
which is invested to save
from,
money.
But that was £1 million taken away from
you've mentioned that £1 million for County Hall twice now, and what I'll say on that is that it's investing to save, because it means that we can move people out of other buildings, we can move them all into County Hall, we can have flexible working, we can make County Hall work a lot better, and in the long term, in the short to medium term, in actual fact, that will actually save us money, which will then help our budget. So I've no problem with investing money if you're going to save money in the medium term, because that's sensible to do. All I can say on the Kingston Marine Park is, by the time that those figures were presented to us, that was what was in there, and that's what I protected. I absolutely agree we need more money for the hoist. There are ways that we can try and get that. I think the LEP has a role to play in that, and other government agencies have a role to play in that. The HSE, for the
well, hasn't that already been turned down? That's already been turned
down.
Yeah, the Homes and Communities Agency, that's the one I was thinking of, who own the land, but are also selling the site, a Columbine, to investors, and you know they have an obligation really to replace what they're selling. So there are ways of funding the hoist, but I think that's
Key's not Columbine. Don't panic, people. No, Columbine's okay. Not going anywhere.
Thank you. We're very short on time today because we've got to fit a lot of candidates in today. But thank you all for coming in. Can I just have one word from each of you about what your big thing that you want to push through in this election? Your big thing, your big push, really. So Louise.
I can't do it in one word, but I do believe in hope.
Okay, Carl?
It's all about development, and yes, hope, you're right, hope for the future.
Okay, Carl.
Looking after our ageing population while providing a strong economy for our younger population as well.
Okay, Julia?
Putting islanders ahead of national politics.
Okay, thank you all so much for coming on today. I'm sure we can find out loads more about you on social media and all sorts of things. So do keep in with that discussion and keep that going. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We'll
thank
be
you.
Back straight after this break with a whole host of other candidates from the west side of the Vidina.
Stay social and get in touch. It's at Vectis Radio on Twitter. The World Wide Web never felt so local.
This show is sponsored by the new Rembrandt Gallery, professional bespoke picture framers. We undertake all types of framing work. Visit us in person at 15 Scarrett's Lane, call us on 01983 529 285 or Facebook the new Rembrandt Gallery.
Hello, welcome back to the Political Soapbox. We're now moving across the Medina to the western side as we continue looking at candidates from the North White today. So if I just get you to start by introducing yourselves and tell me where you're standing and what party you're for.
Hi, Joan. My name's Annie Adams. I'm standing for Cowes North for the Lib Dems.
I'm Laura PC Wilcox and I'm standing for Cowes Medina as an independent.
And I'm Paul Fuller, and I'm an independent for Cowes West and Gurnard.
Okay, thank you. Now, I want to start by talking about an issue that is obviously related to Cowes and the north and the islands, and that's the idea of a fixed link or sorting out the ferries and that barrier between the Solent. What are your thoughts on what we can do to that? Do you think we should have a feasibility study into it? Do you think we should be doing things like buying the part of Red Funnel? What are your thoughts?
I think it's a no-brainer that if we don't have to pay for it and could get it funded at government level, that we should have a feasibility study, because why not? And then we've got more information and we can be more informed about it. Obviously, it's a really hot topic. I don't think we should personally invest in the ferries. Having seen what happened with Scoot earlier last year, and having come from a marine background myself and knowing the massive difficulties it is from running vessels, I think that it's best left off, personally. The fixed link, however, I personally think that it would obviously bring more opportunities, and I don't think necessarily lose our island identity with it. However, until we've got more information and know the environmental impacts and that sort of thing, you can't make a decision. So yes, for the feasibility study.
Okay. I would agree to a feasibility study on the grounds that it did, you know, that there was no cost to the taxpayer, but I don't believe that the majority of the island people want a fixed link.
Okay, how would we find that information? Would you be in favour of
it? It would have to be a feasibility study to see whether people wanted it. That's the only way you're ever going to find out, one way or the other, whether the island people want a fixed link. But I don't. I think the majority of people don't want a fixed link.
Okay, Anton.
You know, the conversation needs to take place, and the whole purpose of the feasibility study is to find out the pros, the cons, how it will affect our infrastructure, how it will affect our environment on the island, how it affects the economy, work. There are so many things that needs to be looked at, and the residents of the Isle of Wight need to be engaged in that. You know, I'm one of these people that do not support decisions being made behind closed doors. Let's engage with people, let's talk to them, and let's get that feasibility done and dusted.
We talked a lot earlier with the previous candidates about jobs and employment, but trying to keep people here is a bit more than jobs, isn't it? It's looking at the kind of culture of the island, where we've got a lot of places that are shutting down. We've seen places for young people shut down, especially like the ice rink and different areas. We've lost Bestival. What kind of cultural incentives do you think there are for people to live on and to come and work on the island to start?
Can you start with Paul?
Yeah, of course, Paul.
Talking to a lot of younger people, there is a real issue about how their future is going to be mapped out for them. You need to talk to young people. At the moment, we have a society on the island that is very much based on excluding younger people. If you look at some of the decisions that are being made centrally, younger people under the age of 25 don't have the same benefits that a lot of older people have, and I think that needs to be redressed. We need to talk to younger people. We need to look at education. If we can improve our education on the island, and I think that's the cornerstone for the island, improve education, and then we can start offering decent jobs for people to want to settle on the island rather than people just wanting to retire. You know, we need to have a very diverse community on the island. We need to be able to work together to achieve that. And, you know, there's most older people that I speak to say exactly the same kind of thing. Let's be inclusive. Let's talk to younger people. Let's be positive about how our approach.
But with it, do you not get in a bit of a like catch 22 situation where you've got you're trying to incentivise people to come to the island, and you're saying that you need to help support the young people? But what about like teachers and people like that? What support is there to get those kind of people?
I think, you know, when we're talking about getting teachers, when we're trying to get business people coming to the island, what we need to do is we need to make sure that the infrastructure is in place on the island to give people, younger people, a future to settle here. A lot of teachers are put off by the fact that they cannot offer the same opportunities that would be available within the M25 circuit in other parts of the mainland. We don't have those opportunities here because it's so difficult to get across that stretch of water. That needs to be recognised by government as well. We need to be able to incentivise our younger people. We need to incentivise people to spend their money on the island to make things better.
Annie?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, as someone who was educated down here under excellent state schools as they were then, getting better results actually than the private funded schools, and lucky enough to be through the schools then, it's really, really disheartening to see how things are now, and it does need to change. And I was listening to Nick, the chairman of the Lib Dems, the other day, who's going through the teacher training process in the schools on the island, and he was saying that one of the major issues is because of all the uncertainty and the constant changes down here within the education system, you come down and you get offered a job, but you're not got the consistency to know it will be there next year. And that's one of the major issues. You know, people just want a job that they know they can be in, that they can actually make some improvements in, not being told that, well, we'll run an on-year contract, but we might have to cut all the arcs and all the music and everything by next year. Now, I don't think, having, as I made the decision to come back to the island, having been away for 10 years, that there isn't things that pull you here. I've got quite a lot of my friends who have moved to London who are looking actively to, now they're at family age, to come back to the island because it's such a great place to grow up. And with the things like the new big green projects, like PTEC and obviously Vestas, we have got some investment. If we can improve and open up those sort of doors, and also things like Tapnell Farm that's had quite a lot of grants, there's quite a lot with the Solent LEP, that there's money available out there for projects. We just need people to drive it, need people who have got some business understanding that can utilise these developments, and the land that we've got with the council to use it possibly better as well. You actually look at what Portsmouth's doing and the fact that they're investing and buying up things, and they're making money, shockingly, making money. You know, it shouldn't be seen as a dirty word that it's run more of a business and becomes profitable as well. You can have both. You can service the people and also make a profit and keep yourself sustainable. And I think that's what really needs to be looked at in the future.
In terms of some of those services, if we look at Shankland Theatre, for example, that is something that was previously run by the council and was not in a good state when it was being run by the council. But then now taken over by volunteers and a highly successful part of culture on the island. Do you think that actually the council needs to be sending out a lot of these services to people who can run it far better than the council are running it?
Or you need to get people on the council that can run it far better. That would be the other, you know, and utilise what you've got. There are certain things. I mean, you say Shankland Theatre, you look at the O2 in London, it was the same thing, you know, when it was the Millennium Dome and we had it in the government, it was rubbish, and then you get taken over. And some people are better at running things. And again, privatisation, and I'm not talking about the NHS, but of certain things, I don't think is a bad thing. If there are people better suited to running it, then they should be running it, you know, as long as they've got the people's interest in as well, like at Shankland Theatre, then I can't see any negativity with that at all. It's better than having something derelict that can't be used by anyone.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, I think the original question was something about the youth, wasn't it? Was where we started off, wasn't it?
Incentives.
And it was, well, what I would say, we need more of the youth to tell us exactly what it is that they actually want. Because I just feel that there's, you know, there's no way of knowing of what it is. Everything's now sort of digital. Everyone's, you see all these youth now, you know, with the headphones in, they're tucked down. They're also insular in their thing. What is it that they want? They certainly don't want the youth club of, you know, the youth club. I think we need more engagement with them to find out exactly what they want. I think we've got a huge problem with staffing of, teachers. That's nationally. That isn't just on the Isle of Wight. Nationally, there is a shortage of teachers. That's why the government have done so many of these, you know, these big TV ads trying to get people back into education. So that's a national issue. It is a worse issue, I think, probably on the island because of the, you know, the continuity of whether they've got jobs and stuff. But that is a national issue. But once you've got, you know, really good secure teachers in place that are consistent, that they're there, and I think they need to help build up the confidence of our youth, because it's the confidence that is lacking the whole time for the youth on this island. I see it time and time again in all the organisations that I go into, all the voluntary sector. It's because the youth have got, there's no confidence in them at all, and they need the support of their parents, not only the teachers. You need teachers that believe in you, and I had it at primary, I had it at middle school, got to the high school, forget it. I was part of the huge big, you know, middle group, what we'd say, not the high achievers. I wasn't in the lowers, that big middle block, and those big middle blocks sometimes are, you know, very much ignored. And I just think we need inspirational teachers, dedicated teachers, but we also need parents that are supportive. We need to see the kids engaging better with us, so that we, and you know what, get some younger counsellors in. You know, I'm getting on now. I'd like to see some younger counsellors in that, you know, that have got that inspiration and got that drive and enthusiasm to be doing more.
Do you think then programmes like the Youth Offer, where, you know, the council is sending out to basically to tender the money for the youth programmes on the island, do you think that's doing enough to kind of engage all of the young people on the island?
I would hope that there's enough inspirational people out there that will take that offer up, and that we'll be doing, I mean, you know, that we'll be focusing on those kids and what they actually want. I really hope that that's, you know, I've stepped back from the youth. I used to run Cowes Youth Council. My kids were absolutely fantastic that I had on that youth council. They were dynamic, you know, we did so much stuff with them. But, you know, it needs somebody that can keep that momentum going. And I have to say that my youth council sort of, it came to an end because most of them went on to the mainland to university. And so that's why I lost most of them. And then there was never another batch coming up. You know, we seem to have lost a generation.
And I think this is the problem. Some of the young people that have the drive, that want to actually change things, they don't stay on the island.
No, they don't.
Because there are less opportunities here. However you dress it up, the island is very much different from the mainland in that our pool of people is diminishing. Mm. You know, trying to get doctors to work in our health centres, trying to get super, really, really world-class teachers to come to the island, trying to get really good head teachers, is that more difficult? Because you come to the island and then you're quite cut off. It's much more than just a strip of water. And again, that takes us back to that first question that you were talking about raising expectations and trying to make that crossing to the mainland that little bit easier. I'm glad earlier on you mentioned about being on the mainland. One of the best things that I did was I left the island for 5 years, actually understanding how the rest of the world works. And I think when you talk to young people and on the mainland and talk to young people on the island, perhaps their views are slightly different, and I think we need to have much more outward looking within our community. It's not just young people, it's also the aspirations of their parents as well. You know, I know, I've heard knocking on doors that parents don't want their children to go to the mainland because they see the mainland as being an evil place to be. That's not right.
Annie, now moving the conversation on just a little bit towards looking at the high street and situation. I know in Cowes in particular, you know, there's a lot of independent shops and there's a lot of support for things that aren't chained. How can the council support more independent shops to be brought up across the island? Because we're seeing big chains are leaving kind of en masse high streets in Newport and in Ryde and leaving big empty spaces. So what can the council do to get people to kind of have more of an independent high street?
Well, of course, rates are obviously one of the key factors. But at the end of the day, we've also got no money, have we? So you've got to charge people to do it, but maybe putting in something concessionary for independent users and parking. I mean, which it comes back to particularly Cowes is, well, no, I'm sure the island wide actually, but Cowes is a nightmare for that as well. I mean, but we're managing it in Cowes. I think, you know, there is a turnover of the shops. They aren't always there consistently, but we there seem to be able to get more people in, and so it is working there. So maybe trying to adopt it in Newport to how we are doing it. The pedestrianisation also helps and that sort of thing. But to be honest, I think it's a bigger picture than I can understand. Mm. Do you know more about that one?
Well, the first thing most businesses say is that they can't afford the business rates. That seems to be sort of like one of the big issues. What I would say is before you take on a business, you seriously need to do your costings and work out. You need to see a lot of people work from home and then they think, right, you know, I'm doing really well, I'm going to go into a shop. Do they actually think about the hours that they've got to work? Do they think about the rates? I mean, there's a whole huge issue around this. And I think, but that's the normal thing we hear most, don't we, Paul, about people moaning about the business rates, that is what the killer. And also that, but don't forget that nearly every shop owner rents that space, so not only have they got the business rates, they've actually got the rent of that property as well, and that's all things they should take into consideration before they actually take on. But we are lucky in Cowes, we've got some fabulous little quirky shops. And you know what, you know, when people come from the mainland, they've got a really good choice in Cowes.
So do you think the council could do more to help and advise people who are setting up businesses?
Yeah, then? I do. Yeah, but, and of course we used to have that, and that's that side of it. I think we ended up giving to the Chamber of Commerce. I think we actually gave them a certain amount of our budget and gave it to the Chamber of Commerce, because I went on the small business course and it's absolute eye opener. It frightened the living daylights out of me, and I decided not to actually open up a shop. But you know, for those people that are courageous and believe in it enough, they can go forward with that. But yeah, there's some really good business schools. One day, just to give you that bit of idea about what would be involved. I do think some people go into it a bit naive and they don't quite realise what they're up against when they first start these things. Yeah,
I think, you know, one of the things there's three factors when you talk to local businesses about the problems that they're experiencing. One is the business rates. Yeah. Two is the rental prices. Mm. But the third is people are buying things online nowadays.
Yeah.
People can get things a lot cheaper. And I think what we're seeing within our town centres is the face of town centres are changing. People are going to town centres not to buy their shopping every week. They're going into town centres to relax and enjoy. And I think business people have to be aware of that, and they are adapting to it. A few years ago, myself and a colleague at Cowes Town Council, we went to talk to all of the business people. Again, liaising with the Chamber of Commerce, the Federation of Small Businesses, that's fine, but you're only getting a sort of like a view from a small body.
Yeah.
Whereas if you talk to everybody individually, they will have their own set of challenges that they want the council to support. You know, we could do things like offering free car parking one day a week. Mm. But the Isle of Wight Council actually used to do that.
Yeah,
and what you used to find was when the council used to do that, a lot of the businesses were closed.
Mm.
I spoke and engaged with the local businesses and said, why are you closed on a Monday when you offer that free car? When the council offers the free car parking, and the businesses didn't even know that there was that opportunity. So again, that engagement and that dialogue with your individual businesses is so important, and that is what our role as councillors, to make sure they have their views listened to and we act in accordance with that.
And so we've got obviously talked about shops during the day, but then what about ways of improving the nighttime economy? I know Cowes does relatively well with
it
pubs.
It does very well for
1 week of the year as well. Yeah. But obviously, yeah. but what else could you do to help boost the nighttime economy in Cowes, but then also across the island?
Well, I think in Cowes it does extremely well. We've got some pretty good restaurant, where I say restaurant, sort of cafe type places, and at night I've got people from all across the island that will come down into Cowes for Friday night for eating and drinking and stuff. It does pretty well, I have to say. I think Newport does quite well with a younger age group. I think it goes that way. It's, I tell you what it is, I would say like the 28 to like 40 year olds will all come into Cowes eating, drinking, having a nice time, and then you've got the younger 18 to like 25 year olds that are doing Newport and Ryde and those sort of areas. And it's just the way the mix seems to be at this moment. I can't say it's always been like that, but with this explosion, like Paul said, with people wanting to eat and drink and relax in our town centres and meet up as a focal point, I think that's the way it's moved.
It's the way for the future. More people are going to buy their things online. Therefore, what we need to do is make sure the essential services in Cowes. One of the big issues we have at the moment in Cowes is that the banks have moved out.
Yeah.
What's that all about? Post office has moved out. You talk to local residents and there is a whole generation of elderly residents out there that don't have access to the internet, that rely upon a sustainable town centre to be able to get their goods. We need to be able to talk to those people. One of the other issues that I deal with on a regular basis is that there are some residents living in town centres that oppose the nighttime economy.
We
need to be able to engage, and we need to have conversations between objectors and supporters of those business so people feel empowered to support their town centres and their local communities.
Annie, what do you think about that battle between the people who are in the community who don't necessarily want loads of people out late at night making loads of noise and then boosting the nighttime economy?
To be honest, which is what I'm here to do, and not with a political agenda as such, is if you've made a decision to live in a town centre and that's where you live, then you need to expect there's going to be other people using it. In the nicest way, you've got to have noise restraints, and people have got to be considerate of each other, of course. But you've made the choice to live there, and at the end of the day, it's not a rural, bungalow elsewhere. So what do you expect?
So how would you like the nighttime economy to be boosted on the island? There's a lot of talk, especially for young people around. You said about that 18 to 25 age group who do go to Newport and to Ryde, but they claim there's only one or two places for them to actually go. There's no nightclubs on the island. There's a big kind of gap for people who want that kind of nightlife.
Yeah, and that's a shame. I mean, there's been a big change in culture. So when I was a late teen, in 18 and down here, then we had a choice of about five or six different nightclubs back then. However, we didn't have the late drinking licence for being able to be in this kind of more wine bars and Yates and that sort of thing that are open later anyway. So my thought is there's a reason the nightclubs closed, and it was because they weren't getting the people into them, because of people wanted to be elsewhere. It follows a trend, isn't it? If people want it, it will come to the island and it will be successful. And the reason that it's not here is because people weren't using it. Otherwise, it would obviously still... They'd be making money, so they'd still be here. Basically.
Okay, we're coming to the last minute or so of the show, so I just want to finish in the same way I did earlier, just say what you think the single biggest challenge moving into this election will be for people in your area. So if we start with Paul.
For me, it's protecting our local environment. I'm seeing a lot of development going on the periphery of Cowes. Cowes won't sustain any more houses, so it's being pushed off to the periphery of the town, which is the area that I represent, and I think it's important that we engage with people and we make sure that development is sensible.
Mine would be issue, parking, lack of parking space. It's just ridiculous. I just seem to be continuously doing that. Yeah, parking.
And mine would be sorting out better use of money and accountability. So we've got the funding to have the road sorted and safe children crossings and that sort of thing in Cowes.
Okay, thank you very much for coming on the show today. Thanks very much. We've got Newport and South White next week. Thanks very much for coming in.
Thank you.
All the best with the election. www.vectisradio.com.